Hello, Grace Church. I'm coming to you by way of podcast once again as we continue learning about trusting God. Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding." That's where we began some weeks ago, which led us to learn more about what it means to trust God and not yourself. You can't say too much about this matter. In fact, you can't say enough about trusting God. I've always thought it interesting, if not ironic, that we will trust God with eternity, but not time. What I mean is this. When it comes to what really matters, indeed the only thing that matters, where we'll spend forever after we die, we fully put our trust in God through Jesus Christ. And rightly so, because he is the only hope for eternal life. But when it comes to this temporary life, which is just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away, according to James 4:14, we tend to lean on our own understanding. We trust ourselves more than God. I think that's why the Bible has so much to say about trusting God. If you just search the phrase, trust the Lord or trust in the Lord, you would find it appears 19 times. And that's just that one phrase. But you'll find the idea of trusting God all throughout his word, and often with the contrast of trusting him versus trusting in anything else. One such place is Jeremiah chapter 17. In verse 5 it says, "Cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord." In verse 7, he says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord." Well, the contrast could not be more stark. Man trusting in man is cursed, where man trusting in God is blessed. Notice how Jeremiah says it twice in one verse, the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. Some translations use the word hope for that second word, trust. We know that the Bible uses repetition often when something is particularly important, like trusting God. I like what John Calvin says about why Jeremiah repeats what is so clear that even a child can understand. He says this, "Doubtless the unbelief which every one of us finds in himself is the best teacher. For even they who seem to have real confidence in God yet falter when some trial assails them." He continues, "What then seems to us so easy, we find in reality to be very difficult. Hence, the prophet, after having said that they are blessed who trust in God, has mentioned this in the second place, and whose hope is God." I didn't read it, but Jeremiah pictures the contrast of trusting God and trusting man as a withering bush in the desert or a flourishing tree planted by water. The psalmist uses this same picture in Psalm 1, describing the blessed man who delights in God's word and the wicked man who does not. And as it's been said before, the reason we tend to trust ourselves more than God is because of our flesh, as Jeremiah tells us in verse 9 of this same chapter. "The heart is deceitful, more deceitful than all else, and is desperately sick. Who can understand it?" Well, all this leads me to another word that I'd like to bring about, and that word is discernment. There are four Hebrew words that are used in the Psalms and Proverbs that translate into our English word discern, and sometimes it's translated as the word understanding. They all have similar meanings and carry the idea of insight and good judgment, to consider with full attention and use good sense. One definition is the potent capacity to understand and so exercise skill in life, a state caused by proper training and teaching enhanced by careful observation. There is also the idea of the ability to distinguish between truth and error. It is closely related to wisdom. In fact, both words have overlapping definitions. I'd like to add two other words as we talk about this, and those words are discretion and diligence. Proverbs 12:27 says that diligence is a precious possession. So then, the reason I bring all this up, wisdom, discernment, discretion, and diligence, is because that is what God gives to those who trust in Him. Remember part of the definition from earlier? That it comes by proper training and teaching, which leads to the source of wisdom and discernment, God alone. Remember Proverbs 9, verse 10? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Proverbs 16:20. He who gives attention to the word will find good, and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. Or Psalm 143, verse 8, let me hear your loving kindness in the morning, for I trust in you. Teach me the way in which I should walk, for to you I lift up my soul. We need wisdom, discernment, discretion, and diligence more than ever. We are definitely living in an Isaiah chapter 5 world. Let's be reminded of what it says in verses 20 to 21 of chapter 5 in Isaiah. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. This is a critical time, isn't it? And the deceivers are more subtle than ever, mixing just enough truth with their error as to make it sound so convincing. But always remember this. A half a truth plus a half a truth does not equal one whole truth. Listen to Psalm 119, verse 104. From your precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Or verse 128. Therefore, I esteem all your precepts concerning everything. I hate every false way. There are only two ways to go in life, God's way and every other way. Let me leave you with this picture from Psalm 18. David wrote this when God had delivered him from his enemies, including Saul. Starting in verse 30, he says, as for God, his way is blameless. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a shield to all who take refuge in him. Another way of saying all who trust in him. For who is God but the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? The God who girds me with strength and makes my way blameless. He makes my feet like hinds' feet and sets me upon high places. He makes my feet like hinds' feet. Have you ever thought about that phrase? A hind. A hind is closely related to a deer. And if you've ever seen one running, you know how swift they are. But not only are they fast, but there is a sure-footedness about them. That's what we need to be, especially in our day. As we walk through this minefield that is ruled by the Prince of Darkness, we need to be sure-footed. In other words, discerning, wise, diligent, and discreet. And God will give that to all who trust in the Lord with all their heart. Well, loved ones, grace to you. Until next time.